Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Send us an email at comments@afr.net if you agree with us on everything. If you don't, here's your address, xbyn17@antarctica.com.
Well,
I'll repeat that later.
Antarctica.com, because you can't remember what you said. You're just making it up as you go. I've done that before. Could you repeat that? No. Kind of like the recipe, you know, that you just put a pinch in, pinch there.
Should have been paying attention.
There's this dead spot. By the way, Steve Jordahl, welcome.
Good morning.
You're not a dead spot, Steve.
No, I don't think so.
Just Hope Steve Jordahl. So there's this dead spot for our cell phones, my wife and I, on our way home. And it's about a 15-second dead spot.
Drop the call.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't necessarily drop call. I wish it would, but that'd be easier.
Yeah.
But it seems like I'm always getting Allison telling me something, some number or something to do right when she hits the dead spot.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it could be as much as two times me having to say, I didn't hear you, honey. You have to repeat it. Well, even if you're not on the other end of a then you don't really, you go like, what's the problem? I spoke. And my wife's sweet and nice and everything like that about that. But she's like, I'm going to have to repeat it again. Yeah, I didn't hear you.
Yeah.
It's not my fault. You know what I'm saying? So I never will forget, I don't know why I'm telling you this. I never will forget Steve Chapman, of Steve and Annie Chapman, the Christian singers. He tells a story one time about, he was talking about, you know, they were driving in Nashville, he and his wife Annie, and they were in two separate cars and they were going somewhere, and she tried to call him, tell him he needed to turn off on a certain exit or whatever, so he didn't do it. And when they got somewhere, she motioned for him to pull over. And they pull over to the gas station or whatever, and she rolls her window down. She says, why didn't you turn? Why didn't you answer your phone so I could tell you what to do? And he's like looking at his phone and going, look, honey, I didn't get a call from you. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. I mean, and she goes, that doesn't matter. You should have answered it anyway.
I am not going to make any comment about women in
general.
Doesn't
matter. You should have answered it anyway. But I didn't. Oh, anyway. Yeah, that's right. The wife's always right.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes.
You're on your own, Tim.
This has nothing to do with dropping calls, but I had friends in California when I lived there. They bought a new Volkswagen, one of those Beetles with the flower and the thing. And they were a fun couple. They were really – they had a lot of fun together and everything. So – she was driving the new car up in right ahead of us. The key fob had the lock and everything, but it didn't. It had a panic button where you could push it and the horn would start beeping and everything. Well, he's sitting back with his key fob in a car. I'm in this car with a bunch of other guys. She's driving the new car, pulls up to a stoplight. She pulls up right behind a police officer. So, of course, he hits the panic button and starts beeping and everything.
As a practical joke. He did that to his wife?
He did that to his wife, yeah.
How did that – did the police
– that didn't end well.
I think she stopped it and kind of said, I'm sorry, to the police officer or whatever.
Hitting the panic button behind the police officer. Yeah. And then you're trying to explain, hey, it's not me, it's him.
Yeah, right.
Oh, me. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Steve, what do you got?
Well, let's talk about this ruling in Missouri. It was on Friday. And the case was Planned Parenthood was suing because the state had passed a law that says you have to have, if you're an abortion clinic and you're an abortionist, you have to have admitting privileges at a local hospital. This is a common sense law that they have several places, that because if you have to take your patient to
if something goes wrong,
Goes wrong, you accompany the patient to the hospital, you have admitting privileges, and you are allowed to continue trying to help the woman that you've just butchered. And the judge ruled that Planned Parenthood cannot use that law as an excuse. He ruled that it cannot resume abortions at a clinic in central Missouri after a federal judge ruled the state restrictions were not an undue burden on women seeking an abortion. So the judge said if this woman that's looking for an abortion has to drive an extra whatever miles, that's not an undue burden. And so it's a good pro-life ruling that will have the effect, I think, it's had the effect of closing down this particular Planned Parenthood branch.
And yet pro-abortionists say we care about women. And then they refuse to have common sense. They want to fight common sense laws that say, look, if something goes wrong, this abortionist has to have admitting privileges in a local hospital so that we can save the life of this mother. I wonder if it's because people who do abortions are generally considered bottom feeders, and they can't get admitting privileges in the local hospital, and that's why they fight against
it. And this is what happened in this particular case. The clinic had been unable to secure a physician who's with those privileges after a panel of medical staff at the University of Missouri Healthcare, which is the closest hospital, decided to stop offering the privileges in 2015.
Yeah.
You got to ask yourself, who would be against that? Even if you're pro-abortion, why would you be against a doctor having to have admitting privileges at an area hospital to be able and if he's going to do surgery?
Well, I think it's
what amounts to surgery.
I think it's the answer is that you have to hire a qualified doctor to do your abortions for you, and that's expensive and lowers your profit margin. But if you can get somebody who is trained only to do abortions, then that runs cheaper. And you increase your profit margin because, in my opinion, abortion is just about the money.
But this is a victory. This is a victory.
It is a victory.
This is a pro-life victory in the federal courts for the state of Missouri. It was a federal court?
I'm looking. Yeah, federal court.
A federal judge. Was it a panel?
It was a judge.
A federal judge says, we agree that, was it a state law?
It is a state law.
Okay. So there you go. That's good news. We'll see how that's...
His name is Western District Court Judge Brian Wimes, W-I-M-E-S, Wimes.
That's good news, because I know other states have tried that as well, and federal courts have, that happened in Mississippi and other states where they've tried to add admitting privileges to hospitals as a requirement if you're going to be a, quote, abortion doctor, end quote.
Just to let you know, just to kind of follow up on the nonsensical nature of why they wouldn't. You never really want to look for logic or common sense or even the note of irony from Planned Parenthood. His latest example, their new president, Leanna Wen, she was commenting on the separation of children at the border. And being a good liberal, she said, forcibly removing a child from their parent or guardian can cause lifelong physical and emotional harm to the child's well-being. Hashtag, how dare you? Well, little sense of irony there that she doesn't recognize that Planned Parenthood has been removing more than, 330,000 babies a year from their mothers.
Just, mm-hmm. Right. With no chance of going on to a better life.
No, absolutely not.
So a victory for the pro-life side right there.
Victory for the pro-life side. And it's not the only one we're looking towards, too. There's a new kind of bill that's kind of been taking off in several states. It's called a heartbeat bill. And we in Mississippi, the governor is about to, if he hasn't already signed the heartbeat bill in Mississippi. It's a law that would say that if you can detect a heartbeat in a baby in the womb, that you cannot, no longer abort that person, that human being, that child. It's been around for a while, but it's gaining a lot of traction now. We've got Florida, Maryland, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, Ohio, South Carolina, West Virginia, states that either have passed or are hoping to pass heartbeat bills. So it wasn't that long ago that this was considered a losing argument, because people were afraid that if you took this to the courts, that the courts would strike it down and make it even harder, strengthen the pro-abortion laws by striking it down. But I think with the new Supreme Court, they're starting to think this might be a winning case.
Well, anything that can be done to restrict the opportunity to kill unborn babies and limit the death toll is a good thing. Some people would say, we should not worry about chipping away at the edges. We should just try to get rid of Roe versus Wade. I understand that argument. I think it's both and, not either or. And I think, again, anything we can do to restrict the practice of abortion is a good thing, because it can save babies' lives.
Well, these cases, if they make their way up to the Supreme Court, if the court chooses, they could use it to strike down Roe
v.
Wade.
That's true.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR.net. You want to send us an email, it's comments. Here's the email address, comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net.
If they're negative comments, can they send them to comments@Antarctica.net?
Well, but there's a whole bunch of numbers that I've gave too.
Yes.
I'll try to remember what I said. You can watch the show on Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues and watch our show and participate that way. Facebook or YouTube. We also, on the Facebook page, we put the stories that we talk about, so you can have them for yourselves. Next story, Steve.
I want to talk about a young man named Brendan Johnston. He is a wrestler. He's a senior in high school.
Listen to this story, folks. This is great.
He is from the Classical Academy in Colorado Springs, a school that I know very well.
You lived there for several years.
I did. I lived there for many years. I'm still looking into this. I might know this family. But Brendan is a good wrestler, and he's been wrestling for 4 years. This is his senior year, and he made it to the state championship tournament. Well, his rise to the podium of number one stopped abruptly when he was asked to wrestle a girl named Angel Rios. Now, this is a girl that is a girl that's not transitioning or anything. It's just, this is the way that the laws and the athletic competitions in Colorado are run. They think their girl should be able to wrestle, and either there's not enough girls to form their own league, or there's just craziness that says they're just as good as boys, so we throw them in with boys. Well, Brendan has decided he doesn't want any part of wrestling a girl. Because not just because it's not chivalrous, but for wrestling reasons.
Well, it's unfair. What boy gets a thrill out of beating a girl in wrestling? Where you go, yeah, look at me. You know what I mean? So it's unfair because the physical strength that a boy has over a girl in the same age category, same weight category, I should say. So typically. So what happened here now?
Well, he forfeited his match against her, which took him out of the tournament. He finished fifth in the state.
So he probably would have won the state championship.
Well, he was 37-6 in his senior year. All six losses were forfeits, five of them because he was asked to wrestle girls. And the sixth one was a medical forfeit. But, yes, he had a very good chance of becoming a state champion. But he wasn't snotty about it. He wasn't. He didn't, you know, make a scene. He shook the girl's hands and wished him well. But it's just, he was saying, this is my conscience and I have to follow it.
Right. He wasn't denigrating. He didn't say anything denigrating of the young lady. He just saying, I can't, in good conscience, wrestle a woman.
This is what he said. I'm not really comfortable with a couple of things with wrestling a girl. The physical contact, there's a lot of it in wrestling. And I guess the physical aggression, too. I don't want to treat a young lady like that on the mat or off the mat.
What's his name?
His name is Brendan. Brendan Johnston.
And now, are we putting that story on our Facebook page? So Brent, just our producer, just put that story on our Facebook page for today's issues. You got to admire this young man.
Yeah, I do. I don't admire Colorado, which seems to be turning into a wacky state. in terms of it just its inability to
Well, they started smoking pot, and then everything went to pot.
I know where you're headed with this, and I agree with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's Colorado that has is now required, in at least in wrestling, for there to be, quote-unquote, no discrimination. Well, there's a reason why there is some degree of discrimination in sports when you're talking about sex and gender. And that is because, like you said, Tim, generally speaking, boys' muscle mass, their speed, their aggression, their strength is all going to be far greater than girls. And if you put a girl, for example, in pads and a helmet, she's going to be hurt if she's allowed to play football. Now, apparently wrestling, they said...
That's what I don't understand, wrestling.
Wrestling, I guess they thought in the same weight class that they would be... more apt to be competitive, and I would imagine maybe in certain cases a
girls made the state championship, so they are good wrestlers.
Good wrestlers,
they beat
and
boys.
And I would also say I would understand their frustration if they enjoyed wrestling and there's just no girls teams. They're going, I want to wrestle, but he had a conscience issue with it, and he paid the price. He forfeited, and tip of the hat.
Let me ask you this. Isn't this by necessity sexual harassment?
You mean if you wrestle a girl?
Well,
if you have a boy, and what he's saying here, if you have a boy wrestling a girl, a wrestler's, you have to touch her breast, her buttocks. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
here?
I guess their argument would be they're not doing it in a sexual way. This is a wrestling match. I understand what you're saying. That would be a reason why I would not want to wrestle
and this
a
is
girl.
His reason too,
because your whole life you're taught you can't touch there,
right?
You know, unless you're
right,
married,
right?
He
you
said
know,
one of the reasons he doesn't is because of the physical contact,
right? Right.
Anyway, well, good for him. I'm glad he's I'm glad he's a young man of principle, and I'm proud of him and his parents. It cost him the state championship. That's what was
most likely.
Most likely, that was remarkable to me that he forfeited
in his senior year too.
He was undefeated outside of six forfeits, five of which were because he didn't want to wrestle a girl, and the other one a medical forfeit. But likely would have won the state championship. But and he was fine with it. You know,
yeah, right?
He didn't complain or gripe about it. He just said, I'll wrestle a boy, but I'm not going to wrestle a girl."
By the way, Colorado also gave us Hickenlooper.
Yeah, you like
Governor.
Saying that.
I like saying that.
Who's now?
The candidate for Democrat president of the United States.
Yeah. We could have a – you're talking
president
about
– Hickenlooper.
President Hickenlooper. No, what's with the echo thing there?
I like saying the word.
Okay.
It's a fun name to say.
again, as a man who's been through 55 years, nearly 56, with the last name Wildman. I would recommend to my to brother what
Hickenlooper.
Yeah,
Hickenlooper.
He does the share thing or
with one name.
Yeah, go with one name.
Right.
What's his first name?
John. Is it John?
John Hickenlooper.
I just go with John.
Well, to be honest, I mean to be fair, I was living in Colorado during his governorship, and people called him Hick. They didn't. It wasn't a
Governor Hick.
Hick. I mean, if they were talking about Hick.
That's hurtful to a lot of people in this country.
I don't think he minded.
Huh?
I don't think he minded.
There's no good combinations. Hickin,
right.
Looper. I mean, if you try to cut that up a little bit, it's nothing.
You sound like you're calling an animal.
Hickenlooper.
Hickenlooper.
Sounds.
Come here, where are you?
Sounds like a breed of chicken.
Come on, Hickenlooper.
Yeah, these are the Hickenloopers.
There you go.
The Hickenlooper chickens. They have the extra feathers on top.
All right.
I want to stay with the athletic theme for a second. A former Olympian, her name is Sharon Davies. She is British. She competed. She won a silver medal in the 1980 Olympics and in Moscow and two Commonwealth golds. She was awarded the MBE, which basically a member of the British Empire. She's a knight or whatever a lady knight is. But she has come out and said that it is unfair for transgender men, as we call them, men who are trying to be women, to compete against women.
By the way, as an aside, and I rarely have these.
Yeah.
I was reading the other day, somebody made the point, you can't trans. That in of itself is a misnomer, in that you're born with your chromosomes, which define you as a male and female, and you can't change that. Is that true?
That's true.
Okay. Biologically true.
Yes.
Then you can't trans.
Well, I don't. You got a better.
You can't trans. Well, I know what you're saying, Stephen. I understand. You cannot transition from a male to a female or vice versa, because you will always, when given your DNA, have. You'll always be a female or a male. And most of these people don't change their genitalia. And Bruce Jenner is always going to be a dude.
Right. No,
he can wear a dress. Right. He can wear a dress and put on makeup and call himself a woman, but he's always going to be a male.
Strange dude.
Huh? Well, yeah. And now, speaking of athletes, he was a great athlete.
Oh man.
He won the decathlon
in 1976.
He was on the front cover of Wheaties.
And that makes him in 1976, he was the best athlete in the world. I think that's the honorary title.
And
that
he was.
Decathlete. Yeah.
Now what's this? This former Olympian, though, is a woman who's a swimmer.
She was a swimmer.
She won gold?
She won silver.
Silver medal.
In 1980.
Okay, what's she saying now?
She is saying that transgender women, as they put it, should not be allowed to compete in female sports. She says, I have nothing against anyone who wishes to be transgender. However, I believe there is a fundamental difference between the binary sex you are born with and the gender you may identify with. So she is allowing for the liberal, she's not against this so-called transgenderism, but she says to protect women's sport, those with male sex advantages should not be able to compete in women's sport. And as she has been attacked for fueling hate.
Martina Navratilova, the great tennis player, herself a lesbian.
Right.
She said the same thing, and she's absolutely right. And this woman,
And she's lost an endorsement deal, hasn't she, Navratilova?
Yes, this Olympian Sharon Davies is absolutely right, too. They see this for what it is. If you allow men, biological men, to participate in women's sports, you ruin women's sports. All right? You're just going to ruin it. And
It's like you were talking the other day about college basketball, for example.
Yeah.
If you get some guy who can't make the men's team, but he's still strong,
right,
and he says, well, I identify as a woman, you got to let me play. You're going to ruin women's sports if enough men do that.
This is becoming an issue that's putting female athletes in a really difficult position. You look at the girls that competed.
Why?
Well, because especially like if you're the high school girls that competed that lost in, was it Vermont?
Connecticut
against the two dudes that were running.
The track guys. They were track guys saying they were girls.
So
they won the state meet.
These are high school kids who, if they say it's not fair, are going to be met with the same hate as Sharon Davies, who has maybe a little more confidence because, one, she's not competing. Two, she's older, an MBE. She's got respect. Martina, the same thing. They're sticking their necks out. Sharon Davies said that she's talked to a lot of athletes, and a lot of other female athletes feel the same way. Her tweet got 22,000 likes. There's a lot of people, but it puts the girls in a bad position because a
high school girl could lose a college scholarship.
Right.
She could
she'd be transphobic.
Yes, yeah. when she graduates from college, tries to get a job. They do some background search and they say, "Oh, you're transphobic."
This is when they say liberalism is a mental disorder. This is a prime example of what we're talking about here. And it's interesting because if you're a feminist, you're supposed to be championing the cause of females, right?
Right.
If you don't stand up for females on this one, and you lose women's sports as a result, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Who's to blame for that? We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Take care.